In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This morning's sermon is based on the gospel reading from Matthew chapter 5. Jesus said, "You have heard it that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." Here ends the reading. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Christ has come to bring us something that surpasses the law, and of course we know what it's called. It is called the gospel. What does it mean? It means that as Jesus said, if you love your friends and hate your enemies, that we are therefore, in a way, agents of God's laws. Our friends treat us well, and so we reward the good treatment that they give us by treating them well. And when someone threatens us or makes themselves a danger to us, it is the law of retribution that we react in kind. We make ourselves a threat to them. And so if our neighbor strikes us on the cheek, we will strike him back, and perhaps even a little harder, in order to teach them a lesson not to do it again. It's a cycle of sin and retribution, cause and effect. Sin yields an evil effect. And that is a cycle that will never end if it is not interrupted. It's a hell of a way to lead a life, and it leads to hell in the afterlife. Spiritually, this tells us there will always be strife between persons. Between active sentient beings that are tainted with sin, there will always be strife. Luther is credited as saying, "You can only have peace so far as your neighbor allows it." And humanly speaking, that's perfectly true. But Christ says here, "You shall be holy. You shall be perfect." In the midst of this strife, he is saying to the Christian, you will not be that way. You shall be holy, but that word for holy is equally well translated, perfect. You shall see this never-ending cycle and find a way to rise against it and put an end to it. So it is complete and it is perfect. And where do we find that? Well, if this is a message to Christians, it must be found in Christ. For it is exactly what Christ said when he put an end to that cycle. He said from his cross, where he was in the middle of justice in sin and retribution, he declared, "It is finished." And that word that Jesus used, "It is finished," is the same word in the Greek as Jesus says, "You shall be holy, perfect, as your Father is holy, perfected, finished." It is perfect. It comes to an end. This love of Christ, declaring this from the cross, is the love that takes us beyond sin and punishment to give us peace. And when we have received that peace by the power of the Holy Spirit, then we say it is indeed finished. And we find our perfection and our completeness in Jesus and his words, our Savior. And so it is my prayer this day under Jesus' words that we might be holy and perfect and find this peace in the holy and perfect one, Jesus, so that also our love for our enemies may be perfect and complete as Jesus' love for us is perfect and complete. Let's get the context here. Let's sort of set the table and define terms. Who are these enemies that strike us on the cheek and we're to turn the other cheek? Are they people that are angry with us because we have sinned against them? That we have done wrong to them and therefore they're angry with us? let me give a resounding no. That's not what Christ is talking about. Jesus has already said in the previous verses that if your brother has anything against you, in other words, if you have sinned against your brother, then he tells us what we are supposed to do. We are supposed to leave the gift that we bring to God on the altar and go and first be reconciled with the brother. If we greet a brother who's angry with us because we have sinned with a happy face and try to gloss it over, we will only make them angrier, and rightly so, because God does not want us to ignore our evil but acknowledge it and first be reconciled to our brother and then to be reconciled with God. So he's told us to do something else, not to turn the other cheek, but to confess our sin and be reconciled if we have sinned against man. If we do not do that, then we prove ourselves to be both an enemy of God and of man, because Christ has told us this is what we are to do. This loving the enemy rather refers to those who are your enemy because you are a child of God who believes his word and confesses the word of Christ openly in this life and in this world. That means, first of all, that you have stood at the foot of the cross. You have seen Jesus' agony, his blood, and his death. And you have said, it is my sin that he's dying for. It is my sin that put him into this agony. It is the penalty for my sin that he is paying. And therefore, it takes all of the wind out of our sails if we are a Christian. It takes away any pride that we can have in our own life and in our doing, and rightfully so, for we are sinners. But in that, we recognize all of the sin that is in us. We say, I have stubbornly resisted you, God, as you have tried to speak with me through your word. I have not followed your word, but so often, like sheep, I have chosen my own way and I have gone astray. I have believed the lies of the world and followed them. I have believed the lies that I have told myself about my own goodness. And I have therefore stood in reaction and opposition to you. And worse than that, I have stubbornly defended my right to do it. And all of that is sin. And Christ is dying for that sin. Having acknowledged our sin, though, we hear the gracious words of Jesus that says, it is finished. It's perfect. The payment is made. You have no other payment that needs to be made. And by the power of the Spirit, we know here humbly that all of our sins have been paid for perfectly in the suffering of God's Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Our sins and rebellion, and so our lack of peace with God that all of that causes, dissolves in Jesus' words as darkness dissolves in light, as we see God's love poured out for us and we sinners restored to God in this Savior, Jesus Christ. And so let's see the similarities and differences between justice and grace. Justice curtails sinners and their sinful activity. It puts a stop to them. That's what justice does. As prison justice removes troublemakers from our society. And executioner's justice removes murderers from a society of people that love life. And the justice of hell removes God's enemies from God's family. Justice is the wall separating what is good and just from what is sinful and evil. But greater than justice is God's grace. For when Christ declares, it is finished, he isn't separated by any wall from sinners or sins. He is bearing them. He places himself in a position to take all of the abuse of all of the sin of the world and to have his cheek struck by sinners. And if it were justice, he would have every reason to say to his father, they struck me on the cheek, now strike them back. That's justice. But instead, he not only offered his other cheek to the sinners, which he did, but he offered his other cheek to God. And he said, don't strike them for that sin they are committing against us. Strike me instead. And that is God's grace. And that's how our peace is won. That Jesus has taken the blow of justice that we have deserved for all of our sins. And another aspect of this that we're all so familiar with in the bodies that we live in is wrath. The Bible calls us sinners, as we are all born sinners, children of wrath. We are born in anger. We are born resenting our fate as sinners who must bear wrath and death and sadness and all the tribulations of this world, not by anything that we have done, but because of our first parents' sin and rebellion to God. They came under his wrath, and we are born under his wrath. And all we naturally know for sure about God is that he's the giver of our life, he made us, and that he will take our life again in death. And so our heritage is wrath against a good and gracious God. As we so often blame God for the evil in this world, instead of blaming ourselves, instead of blaming our race, it is God's fault for letting this evil go on. That's our cycle of wrath and anger, and it is our heritage. We can't break from it. But Christ, the innocent God, comes and takes all that wrath from his Father, from man, from the law of God, and from the devil alike, and he says, "It is finished. Let man's wrath over sin end here," Christ says. "And let God's wrath over sin die with me, because justice is paid in full. It is finished. So be it." In this agonizing crucifixion of Christ, we see justice active. It's working. The very nature of justice is to destroy the destroyers. Yet as justice reacts in the crucible of justice, we see our Creator's love, not bringing life into dirt that he has called good as he made our first father Adam, but loving more, loving not what is good but what is evil, loving his enemies, loving the flesh, our flesh that is riddled and shot through with sins. He loves his enemy. He takes all of the evil his enemy has to give him, and he spends it all in his love in order to redeem us. And so when he says it is finished, it is the end of justice, but it is the beginning of something new. It is the beginning of a new race of all who would believe in this perfect man, Jesus Christ. It is the race of people who are born again to find peace on this troubled world, in the wounds and in the life and in the words and the all of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And if we have become children of God, let us then listen to the words of our brother and our Savior, and no longer be conformed to the thinking of this world, but be transformed by Christ's words in the renewing of our minds. As Christ committed no wrong, we are to be innocent. We have already said what that means as far as it relates to the sin that still lives in us. When we are not like Christ, when we sin, we seek reconciliation with our brother and in the blood of Jesus Christ. First we reconcile with our neighbor, then we reconcile with God. And this is what the gospel works in us, because we know it is finished. And therefore we want to be done with it, and not for the cycle to keep on going. And the only way to break it is to confess, "I have sinned." And if our neighbor will not forgive us, and if they are not believers, they might not, God will yet forgive us all our sins in the blood of Jesus Christ. For it is finished is true, even if our neighbor denies it. But as we became children of God by Christ passively taking on our sins and the effects of sins, which he doesn't deserve, and taking on that injustice to save us, He laid aside his right to defend himself, and we are saved by this. Then we as Christ's people must be as Christ was in this world. What does that mean? Our goal is never going to be justice. It must be grace. It must not be our goal to punish and have retribution on our enemies, but that our enemies would be forgiven as we are forgiven in Jesus Christ. So that the same "it is finished" that we trust in and believe in and rely on might also be for those who are our enemies, that we might love them through Christ as God has loved us through Christ. And that's a struggle for us because we still got our flesh. But we need to learn how to talk to our flesh. Our flesh is going to be angry and wrathful and want revenge against those who do us wrong. Tell your flesh to shut up. Tell your flesh to go to hell. Tell your flesh to die with Christ, as it must die with Christ. And know that the love of you as a sinner in Christ is big enough for you, and it's big enough for the people around you. It's even big enough for your enemies, because it's big enough for Christ's enemies. Now, hear me clearly on this. That doesn't mean that for the sake of love that you silence God's word of law, that you tolerate sin that earns God's displeasure, that you paint a happy face of love on the law of God that condemns sinners. What it means is that when you speak as a child of God, when you confront what is evil in order to turn the evildoer to what is good in Jesus Christ, that you will suffer persecution for it. The sinner who does not want to admit his sin will become angry and will slap you in the face and will persecute you. For this is what Christ says in the verses above. They will persecute you and say evil things about you, not because you're evil, but because of me, for my sake. Then we must not become frustrated. We must not perpetuate the cycle of sin and wrath. Rather, Jesus says, rejoice. Wow. Now that takes a real spiritual gift of the Holy Spirit. He says, when you experience that, rejoice, because you're in good company. That's how they treated the prophets that were before you. And isn't that how they treated the Son of God himself? Now, what that means is that you will be like Christ, like a defenseless lamb among a pack of wolves. Things will often seem out of control. They will seem wrong. They will seem unjust. They will seem unfair. And it will be so. You might feel like Christ when he asked his Father before suffering the next day to let that cup pass from him. But finally, you will join the Lord in saying, "But not my will, Father, but thine be done." And that's what it means to have faith. Not choosing your own path, but the path of the cross that was appointed for Jesus and is appointed to his followers. And that's really the point of faith, that he's God and you and I are not. He is in control and we are not. And that's grace and that's good. There are people that want to control God, and they actually can, after a fashion. All they have to do is to continue to rebel against God. All they have to do is to choose their own way. All they have to do is continue to enforce their own justice and judgment against their enemies. And they, after a fashion, will certainly control God. Why? Because they force God to do what he really doesn't want to do. They force him to send them to hell, while God sent his Son and redeemed them and wants to save them. Far better to live in the fear and trust of God by trusting in Christ. In him we find something better than the world's form of justice that is never complete. We find the perfect justice and love of God that is completed and becomes the source of our joy and our blessing here in this uncertain world and in the world that is certainly promised us to come. So that in the midst of strife, we can be at peace and perfectly in peace in Jesus Christ. For he has given us all, and we, in his name, have received it. It's perfect. Amen. And may the peace that that gives us that surpasses our understanding then keep your hearts and your minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.